Turn with me this morning in your Bible to Luke chapter 19. But I want to do some preliminary groundwork before we start. This passage is the passage that we have about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is one of the early Sunday school characters that our children are taught. But to give you some background in reference to this particular passage, who was Zacchaeus? Well, we know from the scripture he was very wealthy. And Jericho was a wealthy town, very important town in that day. It lay in the southern part of the Jordan Valley, and it commanded the approach to Jerusalem, which lay south of Jericho, and the crossings of the river, the Jordan, that gave people access to the land to the east of the Jordan. Jericho had a great palm forest, by palm, P-A-L-M, palm trees. Her gardens of roses were known far and wide. She had a great palm forest and world-famous balsam groves, which perfumed the air of that area for miles around. Her garden of roses was known far and wide. Josephus, the Jewish historian, called Jericho a divine region. A divine region. Another quote, the fattest in Palestine. Romans carried her dates and balsam to worldwide trade and fame. It was an exporter. All this combined to make her one of the greatest taxation centers in Palestine. We've already seen the taxes which the tax collectors collected and the wealth which they rapaciously acquired in Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. Zacchaeus was a man who had reached the top of his profession. He was the chief tax collector of that area, which means that there were many other tax collectors working under him. And he was receiving a percentage of what they were taking in. That's how the system worked. He was also the most hated man in the district because of being a tax collector and being the chief tax collector. There are three stages in the story of Zacchaeus. We have to be aware of his wealth, but he was not a happy man. Inevitably, he was lonely, for he had chosen a way of life that made him an outcast. He had heard that Jesus welcomed tax collectors and sinners. He was despised and hated by men, but he was reaching out for the love of God. And he may not have had any idea that what he really needed was not recognition or love from men, but the love of God. is what he needed in his life. Second thing that we need to know about him in preparation to talk about this passage is that he was determined to see Jesus. And he would let nothing stop him. And we know from those early years of teaching as a child and teaching children that the song says he was a wee little man. He was short of stature. He couldn't see over the crowd. Jesus was coming down his street, but he couldn't see him for the crowd of people. He could not see. The crowd took an ill delight, I'm sure, in making sure that he could not see. If he was anywhere near people, they're going to do all they can to hinder him, to keep him from getting to Jesus. He was not a liked man. And so he lights upon this plan to climb a tree because Jesus is going to pass under that tree. And he's going to be sitting up there on a limb, seeing Jesus as he passed by. I don't know whether he expected to engage in conversation with Jesus or not, but he wanted to see Jesus, this man who ate with publicans, tax collectors, and sinners. And then the third thing that we need to know about him is that after meeting with Jesus, and we'll talk about that, he took steps to show the community that he was a changed man. When Jesus announced that he would stay at his house, and when he discovered that he had found a new friend, a wonderful friend, immediately Zacchaeus took made a decision. He decided to give half of his goods to the poor. The other half he did not intend to keep for himself, but to use to make restitution for anything that might have been received in a fraudulent way or stolen. I don't know if he was that low or not. But if anything had been stolen, he was going to refund that four times over. And we learned that there were Old Testament laws in Exodus and Leviticus and in Numbers, I'm not sure about Deuteronomy, that talked about stealing, about receiving fraudulent gifts and good things. And what he does hits the nail on the head. And that's what we really want to see this morning in our time together. If you have your Bibles open to the 19th chapter of Luke, I want to read the first 10 verses. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Passed through. He entered on one end, on one side, and passed through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. So there's our key character. And he sought to see who Jesus was and could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree. I don't think this was the kind of sycamore tree that we're used to calling sycamore trees in the state of Indiana. I don't believe that that is... gives us the proper idea of what kind of tree it is. for he was going to pass that way. Zacchaeus was smart. He figured out which way Jesus was going. Then he ran ahead, climbed up into a tree whose limbs overhung that way, that street, and there he climbed up and sat down on a limb, and Jesus would soon be coming down his street. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Zacchaeus, the publican, the hated man, the tax collector, came down quickly, made haste, because Jesus wanted to come to his house that day. And when he saw it, and when they saw it, the people, the religious leaders, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Lord, I will give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham, a believing Jew." He is now a believing Jew, believing in Jesus, the Messiah. "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man," and here's the great climactic verse of this paragraph, "for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." In the story, who is lost? Zacchaeus. And Jesus was going to his house that day to seek this man, to teach him the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. And Jesus was going to give Zacchaeus the word of God. Zacchaeus was going to hear it. He was going to receive it. He was going to believe it. And he was going to trust Christ as his Messiah. The Christ of whom we read in the New Testament is the conqueror of death. That which he did in his earthly ministry, he continues to seek to do today through his church and through his individual followers. Christ came to change things for the better. That's the title that Dennis and I worked out this morning. Christ came to change things for the better, and to change people for the better. Jesus sought to change the heart and mind of individuals by giving them new insight concerning the nature and the character of God. Our Lord sought to change the structure of society by bringing about great changes in individuals. That's how you change society. You first change individuals. And the power and the impact of that change begins to put pressure on society. And thus society changes. He sought to change the heart and mind of individuals by giving them new insight concerning the nature and the character of God. Our Lord sought to change the structure of society by bringing about great changes in individuals. He came to Jericho when Calvary was only 1 week away. Jesus was within 1 week of the cross. He will never come this way again because he's headed to Jerusalem, where he will be crucified in a week. It's interesting to note that he demonstrated deep concern for a man that was hated and despised by the people of his city. Instead of seeking popular applause, our Lord sought out the most hated man in town and demonstrated concern for him in order that there might be changes in his heart and life that would bring about changes in the city of Jericho. The pattern of our Lord should be the pattern for today. By way of outline, I'll give you 4 or 5 points to hang your thoughts on this morning. Number one, Christ became a self-invited guest. A self-invited guest. Notice verse 5. Jesus came to the place, he looked up, saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Jesus boldly invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. He became a self-invited guest. There was something very personal and very pressing about this statement of our Lord. This would be Jesus' only opportunity. Remember, he's on his way to Jerusalem. He'll not be back. This would be Jesus' only opportunity to render personal ministry to Zacchaeus. This would be Zacchaeus' only opportunity ever to have a personal interview with the Lord Jesus. This would be his last visit in Jericho. And our Lord seized the opportunity, and it was necessary that Zacchaeus respond immediately and decisively to this opportunity, because it wouldn't return. This was it for Zacchaeus. The last time Jesus would be here. The last opportunity to hear the Son of God. Christ came in love for Zacchaeus. The source of love must be discovered from the heart of God rather than in the loveliness, and I put that in quotes, rather than in the loveliness of those who are the objects of his affection. It would be helpful if we could personalize and individualize the truth of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus didn't deal with Zacchaeus because of all the great things he saw in Zacchaeus' life. No, he dealt with Zacchaeus because God loved Zacchaeus. It's not from man to God, it's from God to man. God deals with men on the basis of his own love rather than their loveliness. Because most of us don't have much loveliness about us. It has to come from God. Because of God's love, Christ came to Zacchaeus, who was hated and despised by the people in the town where he lived. And he continues to love in that same manner today. Christ came to Zacchaeus because of his love for others. God loved Zacchaeus' family. I don't know anything about Zacchaeus' family. But if there was a family, I know God loved Zacchaeus' family. If changes could be brought about in the heart of this man, a family could be blessed and moved closer to a life of true happiness and usefulness. God loved Zacchaeus' neighbors. God needed Zacchaeus as a channel of love that he might bless Zacchaeus' neighbors. And God continues to seek the Zacchaeuses of today. God does not avoid a man because his life is unlovely. If that be the case, God could deal with very few people. God does not avoid us because initially we are unlovely. God's redemptive activity is motivated by divine love rather than by something lovely in us. God wants to use each of his children so that he may bring redemption and the joy of sonship into the hearts and lives of those who are the outcasts of society. Zacchaeus was in a profession, tax collecting, had obviously worked his way up the ladder until he was the chief one in the Jericho region. That did not make friends. People hate paying taxes, by and large. That's not a fun thing that we want to do. And he was the tax man. And he represented Rome. I'll say more about that in a little bit, maybe. Secondly, a seeking sinner, Zacchaeus, was found by the seeking Savior. Zacchaeus climbs a tree in order to see Jesus. Jesus comes down this street in order to look up and see Zacchaeus. The sinner does not conscientiously and deliberately seek God. Man, instead of choosing to cooperate with God, rebels against God in self-trust, self-love, self-assertion. The Bible describes man as dead in sin. He's cut off from God. He does not seek God conscientiously and deliberately. Romans chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 12. We don't seek God. Every sinner away from God actually is seeking and needs only what God can do. We need what God can do, what God can give. Deep within the heart of every man, and I tried to find this quote to give credit, but there's an old quote that's been around for many years that says there's a God-sized vacuum in every one of us, and only God can fill that vacuum. Someday I'll come across again, probably find out the author of that quote. A God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill in your life. People seek to fill that vacuum. It's real. They seek to fill it with the security of that wealth brings, that popularity brings, that success brings. Others seek to fill this void by trying to satisfy all the appetites of their human nature. And we say, well, why do people live like they live and do what they do? They're trying to fill up an emptiness. They're trying to fill up that God-sized vacuum that they can't find anything that size. Only God can do that. Zacchaeus was rich, but he wasn't happy. He had put riches above patriotism. He had put riches above his Jewish religion. He had put the desire for riches above popular approval. Nobody liked him, except other publicans, other tax collectors. His stomach was satisfied. I'm sure as a rich man, he ate well. But his heart was hungry for acceptance with God and acceptance by his fellow man. Zacchaeus was loved by Christ, though he was unlovable. I'm sure he had an attitude of superiority and power and control. He was unloved by his city. That's part of the reason why he couldn't see Jesus, not just because he was short, but because when he got out and mixed in that crowd, he's going to get beat up. He's going to get punched. He's going to get kicked. He's going to be black and blue and bruised before this day is over, because they didn't like him. Perhaps he was unloved even in his own home. We don't know anything about his home life. The only thing he had to offer was materialism, wealth, money. Most likely, they could not see anything in him that was lovable. He had been looking for life in all the wrong places and in all the wrong ways. Fortunate indeed was Zacchaeus that Jesus must go through Jericho. That was the path of Zacchaeus' salvation, that Jesus must go through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. Christ, thirdly, came to change things. We say maybe Christ came to shake things up. We talk about shaking up the routine. the ordinary, the average. Do something different. Get their attention. But Jesus did not come to pronounce a benediction on the status quo. When Jesus comes, it's going to change. And the change is going to be obvious. He came to produce revolutionary changes that transform and enrich life. Can you imagine this man who has scraped and clawed his way to material wealth, riches? What it was like when he became a man that gave away money? And not just dollar for dollar, he gave away half of his wealth. He was going to give four times as much back if anything had been taken by fraud or theft. That was unheard of. Talk about changes being made. He wants to change the attitude of those who consider themselves to be very religious. In this 19th chapter, verse 7, when Jesus said that I must go to your house, and Zacchaeus came down out of that tree, and when they saw it, the they aren't identified here, but I believe the they are the religious leaders, the synagogue leaders, the priests. When they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." It's all right if Jesus eats with them because they're not sinners, they don't think. But if you're a tax collector, you're an obvious sinner. You steal, you commit fraud, you lie, you charge too much. But Jesus came to change things. He wants to change the attitude of those who consider themselves to be very religious. Our Lord exposed himself to the hostility of people in the city of Jericho, as well as his own disciples, when he expressed friendship toward the publican Zacchaeus, who was an outcast. But the master went to his house and ate with him. Let me do a sidebar for just a moment. I am becoming more and more impressed with what takes place around the dinner table. How many times throughout Scripture, but certainly it was true about Jesus, he went to their home. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they were friends. He goes to Zacchaeus's. There's another passage, I don't have it marked, where Jesus went to a publican's house, and this tax collector invited all of his tax collector friends, and Jesus was there. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus is knocking on the door, wanting to get into that church, wanting to have fellowship. He was a friend. Zacchaeus was a friend of the army, the Roman army that occupied this territory, was the military prop that kept Zacchaeus and all the tax collectors that represented income to the government of Rome. Because of his friendship with the army, he's an outcast. He was unwelcome in any of the religious or civic activities in the city of Jericho. But he was not outside of the concern of God. And that's the good news in this passage. There was room in the heart of God for Zacchaeus. Have we abandoned some segment of our society and considered them to be outside the circle of God's love? If so, we need to re-examine the pattern that our Lord followed and identify with his program. Christ helped Zacchaeus make changes in his own life. We can only speculate, of course, concerning the things that were discussed during the meal and the visit that followed when Jesus was in Zacchaeus' home. It's interesting to notice some of the results of that visit. And you know that these had to be the subjects about which Jesus talked to Zacchaeus. Christ helped Zacchaeus to replace the greed that was in his heart with graciousness and generosity. Luke 19:8. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Lord, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." I'm not sure that's a confession, but I think it's a cover statement. I think it's an if statement. If I have been involved in taking anything by false accusation, by lying, by overcharging, whatever, I restore fourfold. Changes are coming, aren't they? Perhaps our Lord helped Zacchaeus to see that true happiness does not come from the greediness of grasping after material things. That's not the road to happiness. Jesus succeeded in helping Zacchaeus change his whole philosophy of life. Get that point out of this passage. Perhaps Jesus repeated the great truth found in Luke 6:38. In Acts 20:35, I will turn over to Acts 20:35 and just see what that says for a moment. "I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said is more blessed to give than to receive." Christ helped Zacchaeus replace selfishness with righteousness in his mind and in his conduct. In 19:8, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Lord, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." He's covering himself. I don't know if he knows whether he's been dishonest or not. He may have just collected to the penny. But then this statement is saying, if I have taken anything by false accusation, I'm going to give back four times. That's what the scripture has said back in the Old Testament. A profound change of mind and life could bring about such an important change in the conduct of this man. It's evident that Zacchaeus decided to put the kingdom of God and his righteousness first in his life, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Christ gave to Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus accepted the new purpose, the new direction of his life. That longing, that emptiness, that God-sized vacuum that Zacchaeus had is being filled in this conversation with Jesus at a table in Zacchaeus' house. And then let me close. Christ can change things today. He can change things today. Christ will not put into your heart merely, will come into your heart, not merely to occupy space as a silent, uninvolved spectator. That's not our Jesus. He will not be a silent spectator in your life. He will change your heart and your mind. Let him be something more than a savior from the penalty of sin. He wants to be the master of your life. He wants to be your teacher and to give you authentic truth about God for the living out of life. He wants to be your friend and counselor. He will bring about changes within your home. Christ will help you be a better husband and a better wife. He will help you be a better parent to your children. And he will help youth, young people, relate properly to their parents in a creative and stimulating way in the home. He will seek to bring about changes within the city and the country as individuals. Let him be the guiding, controlling factor in their lives. He wants control to do it through you. He wants to bring about changes in the church. In the third chapter of Revelation, as John is going through the seven churches, and in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. He wants to come into the church and dine, to eat, to fellowship. We've got to delve more into that, because I think I'm not even touching the hem of the garment this morning. How God uses a meal. It may be breakfast, it may be lunch, it may be dinner, it may be a midnight snack. But there's something about the fellowship of eating together that God used over and over and over and over in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus wants to come in and have fellowship in his church. These words were actually addressed to a church. He wanted to abide within the church and use the church as the instrument through which he could bless the community and the world. Now, if you have your Bibles open to the 19th chapter of Luke, I'm done in about 60 seconds. But I want to show you something. I want you to think with me. And I want you to give me an answer. I want you to give me an answer. When Christ walked down the street of Jericho and found Zacchaeus on the limb of a tree, a low-hanging limb, above the crowd, but low enough, some great things were getting ready to happen in just a few seconds. In verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. So in your mind, this is Zacchaeus. He sees me. Jesus looks up. Zacchaeus is looking down. And Jesus sees him. Still in verse 5. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. In Zacchaeus' mind, Jesus knows him. He calls him by name. They haven't met yet. They haven't talked. They haven't dined. Jesus hasn't taught him yet. Jesus knows his name. Zacchaeus, may take and come down, for today I must stay at your house. He loves me. He wants me to be with him. And I want to be with him. He loves me. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He wants me. Now I've taken you through four simple points. He sees me. He knows me. He loves me. He wants me. What's the fifth one? What's the fifth one? The fifth one is in verse 6. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. By those words tell us that Zacchaeus is saying, he can have me. He can have me. Make haste, come down. And he received him joyfully. Zacchaeus is saying, he sees me, he knows me, he loves me, he wants me, he can have me. And he came down, and they went home and ate together, and Jesus probably spent most of the rest of the day teaching this one man because of the influence that he's going to have in his home, in his town, perhaps in his nation, perhaps on the Roman Empire. We don't know. But all that transpired that day for Zacchaeus was not for naught. When Jesus is doing it, it all has a purpose. And the purpose is that you may know me as your Lord and as your Savior. A great part of wisdom is to receive him. Rejoice in him. Respond to him. Christ will continue to bring about change in those who will let him come and dwell in them as he came that day to visit in the home of Zacchaeus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God today. And I pray, Father, that there will be someone, perhaps maybe several, who today the Holy Spirit will prompt to seek to hear this message, not because it's me, but because it's there, because there's something in that message that they need to hear. You want to speak to someone's heart today through your word. Lord, I pray your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name, amen.